Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. Yeah, that's right. We're finally back together. So I'm the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call in, give us a call, talk to us, have some fun. 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but there is various content added throughout the week. So continue to get on over there, check that out, see what's going on. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like it while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, you know, I play the Welcome Back Cotter theme for you, but we don't have it here, so... You know, we'll just have to live with what we got. But all right, let's get this started and out of the way, Dan, because like I was telling you before we got going, Mr. Fantasy sent me three FanDuel lineups. All right, most of the time I have a problem just getting one out of them. Luckily, it's not a multitude of different players, so I'm going to do this the easy way. I'm going to start with first base. On all three of his teams, he has Ryan Zimmerman. Now, first, through the outfield, he didn't change any of these guys, so all three of these guys are on his teams. Ryan Zimmerman at first for $3,900. If you listened yesterday, you'll remember he hated Zimmerman. Then he went out and homered, and now they're in Colorado, so I guess he likes him today. Brandon Drury at second for $2,600. Jake Lamb at third, so you'll notice the Diamondback theme here, for $3,900. Elvis Andrews at short for $2,900. And then his outfield is David Peralta for $3,000. And then Steven Souza for $3,300. And Nomar Mazara for $3,300. Now those guys, Zimmerman, Drury, Lamb, Andrews, Peralta, Souza, and Mazara, are in all three of his lineups. So that's how he's got it set up. In his first lineup, his pitcher is Chris Archer and is for $9,500, and his catcher is Chris Herman from the Diamondbacks for $2,200. In lineup number two, he went with the Royals battery tonight. Jason Vargas, the pitcher, for $8,500, and Sal Perez, the catcher, for $2,900. And then his final lineup, I guess he figured either the White Sox or the Royals weren't going to hit tonight, because he's got Miguel Gonzalez, the White Sox starter, tonight for $7,400. And his catcher in that third lineup is Buster Posey for $3,700. Now, every one of these guys is confirmed to be in the lineup except Posey, because they have a later start. So get out there, check it out, see what you like. But that's the way he's going tonight. Again, a lot of, you know, three different lineups, but not a lot of choices for you. So see what you think, what you like. You know, the pitching may be something you can look at. But I was telling Dan right before we got started, I entered so many of his lineups to keep track with, I haven't even had a chance to look at it to do mine yet. So I don't know what the heck is out there. So, all right, Dan, here I'm looking a little bit. What do you think of this Amir Garrett of the Reds who's been rolling? He's a rookie. $7,700. And I can tell you, if you did listen to me yesterday and you played Kyle Freeland, you probably got your money back, as I did. He had 55 points in his last start, 39 in his second, and 40 in his first. He's got the Brewers tonight. They strike out a lot, but they can hit, and it's in Milwaukee. So I don't know. You like him for $7,700?
Yeah, why not?
All right, I'll throw him in my lineup as I attempt to put it together here as we, you know, we move along here. So, I figure he's, you know, he's not a bad, not a bad value at $7,700 to kind of, you know, kind of screw and see how things are going. Let me hunt down a catcher here who I like. Oh, Miggy's in the lineup again for the Cubs, huh?
Hey, yeah, I'll waste that time.
So, you know, I saw that there. You know, I guess today, I'm going to save a little money at catcher, and you know, I'm going to go with Jeff Mathis of the Diamondbacks. I know he's not a great hitter, but, you know, they're playing the Padres. I see a day that he can perform, so I'm going to throw him in. You got Anthony Rizzo staying hot tonight. He's homered in what? Is it three of his last four games or four of his last four games?
Oh, why not? Wait.
Well, he's 40, yeah. 40, he's $4,400. Yeah, they're in Pittsburgh, so.
No, I would say he's off. If you're going to pick him, then no.
Well, I did have him the other day when he homered, so I haven't been a total jinx to him. So it's worked out a little better for me than it has as of late. I'm sure a lot of fantasy owners were disappointed. I saw that Bryce Harper is getting the night off, and the Nationals are in Colorado. So I'm sure there were a lot of people, you know, jumping up and down just waiting to get Bryce Harper in that lineup in that good old Mile High Air and, you know, see what's going on there. But, yeah, he's getting a night off. So you're going to have to work your way around the Bryce Harper dilemma tonight for your team. So I guess you'll have to settle for Mike Trout. Not too bad, but all right. I got one more guy to find here. I need a $2,200 outfielder, Dan. I need somebody on the cheap. Let's see if we. Well, you know, I like Anthony. I hope he's in line tonight for the Dodgers. Plug him in and see. Who's pitching for the Giants tonight? Do you know?
Hey, you broke up.
I said, who's pitching for the Giants tonight? Do you know?
Oh, I thought you knew.
Yeah, you know, I was so goofed or goof up that I wasn't. I haven't looked. I can pull it up real quick here and check. I was just kind of, because I think it's supposed to be Bumgarner's turn. I think Matt Cain went yesterday. So
oh,
whoever
Matt
they're.
They have Matt Cain for tonight. I don't.
Oh, okay. It is Cain tonight. Okay. So that means it would be Bumgarner's turn tomorrow. Yes, it's Hin Jin Ryu against Matt Cain. Here, I can help you out with the matchups real quick. We got the Cubs at the Pirates. It's Brett Anderson against Chad Kuhl. The Rays at the Orioles. Chris Archer against Ubaldo Jimenez. The Reds at the Brewers. Oh, Dan, it's Amir Garrett against Matt Garza. Woo-hoo! The Twins at the Rangers. Phil Hughes against Martin Perez. The Royals at the White Sox. Jason Vargas against Miguel Gonzalez. The Nationals at the Rockies, Joe Ross against Tyler Anderson. Padres at the Diamondbacks, Julius Chassin, who's actually pitched really well for the Padres this year, against Zach Greinke. The Blue Jays against the Angels, Francisco Liriano and Ricky Nolasco are the starters there. And then it's the Dodgers and the Giants. It's Hin Jin Ryu against Matt Cain. So there you go. But all right, Dan, I know it's really early, but this was a really big topic of conversation. And, you know, it's a team you and I have both talked about quite a bit. What the hell is going on with the Giants? 6-13 out of the gate, and now they're going to be without Bumgarner for probably 2 months.
Who is it that long? Damn.
Yeah, well, they said 6 to 8 weeks, but, you know, with pitchers, they normally – I know he's kind of a different breed of pitcher, but they normally err on the longer side. So I'm going with the 8-week time period there for him. You know, by the time he comes back, they could be dead in the water.
Well, you've got to take in the factor that it's the odd year. I mean, I know that's stupid, but that's just one of the things, the way it works out. And this team, over the last couple of seasons hasn't really gone out of the gate, you know, firestorm or whatever. So you're not going to be looking for this team to really make its run until after the All-Star break. You know, once Colorado and Arizona settled down. And even San Diego.
Remember how bad they were? Remember how bad they were the second half of last year, though? I mean, they were horrible.
Yeah, but they were still able to kind of squeeze it out and make a playoff run.
Well, I don't know. Is what they did considered a run? You know, cause, you know, I mean, you keep – you look at the team, and, I mean, it's, you know, it's still a pretty well-together, put-together team. You know, I know, you know, Brandon Belt is off to a bit of a slow start, and your guy, Denard Span, is really struggling. I know he's a little dinged up now, but, you know, I went back to look at the pitching staff, and, I mean, obviously a healthy Bumgarner is one of the best pitchers in the game. You follow him up with Johnny Cueto, who would be an ace on just about every other team except for maybe three or four of them. You know, that allows you to put Matt Moore back in the three spot where, you know, he should just dominate after having to be at the top of the rotation for, I believe it was the Rays for a few years until Chris Archer came along. You know, and then that even allows you to push Jeff Samardzija back, who, you know, he should be the best number four starter in baseball. And, you know, I mean, he sucked. Matt Morris sucked. Even Cueto has struggled. You know, at least Cueto has managed to go 3-1. But, you know, I mean, these other guys have just been terrible.
Well, I mean, I never expected anything out of Matt Moore. So, I mean, despite whatever anyone thought the signing was, it was just another signing. So it wasn't something that was going to really put them over the hump. And, you know, who's their closer? Didn't they land Melanson?
Yeah, they signed. They spent money this year on Melanson.
That, I mean, Denard Span, as fun as he was, he's kind of, he's already been on a decline. What you got out of him last year was, I think, more than anyone had expected, and they should have been looking to fill that spot. And sadly, I think, around the horn with your guys, they really haven't panned out to be the superstars that they should have been. You know, they're great quality, they're great baseball players, but, you know, when you go first, second, you go all the way around the horn, and you don't have a superstar in that lineup.
Yeah, but, you know, Moore was a 17-game winner for Tampa Bay back when they were a decent team. He actually ended up winning 13 games last year. You know, I mean, when you kind of start looking, I mean, he's pitching against number threes. You know, it's kind of like the setup with Samardzija. I mean, you bring these guys in, they, you know, they should be better, you know, than the guys they're facing. And I don't understand why, you know, like Samardzija's ERA is like, I think I saw 7.4. And the reason I know this is because I picked them both up in the auction league because I thought I was being smart and they would give me great stats at the end of the rotation for what should be a good team. And, yeah, it hasn't worked out that way. Let me see here. Yeah, Samardzija's ERA is 7.40. He does have 30 strikeouts, though.
Oh, that's why I only went with him in one league.
So, you know, just want to, you know, one of those things. You know, and I know Melanson had a really rough first outing. He took the loss there. But he has saved three games. He's kind of back to normal. It was just that first game that was weird. But, yeah, you know, they've had, you know, some minor bullpen issues again. I know Derek Law has been solid. Hunter Strickland hasn't given up a run yet, so he's been kind of rolling. Neither's Corey Guerin, but they're kind of using him as a spot guy. What I found weird, Dan, is they don't have anybody with more than one hold, but I guess they only have six wins, so it's not like they're going to be racking up the stat totals. You know, I know you mentioned Span, but, you know, they also didn't bring in anybody to play left field. You know, they decided they were going to go with Jarrett Parker and I think they just sent the other guy down. What was his name?
Guerrero?
Come on, I got to find him here on their road. Well, no, Marrero's getting the playing time now, but I brought a blank on Mac Williamson was the guy, but I think he got hurt, you know, but like Parker got the first shot at it. He hit 143 early in the season, and they may have just sent him down. So, yeah, not only do they have a weak spot in center with Span there who's struggling, but by not fixing left field, they kind of ended up putting two holes in the outfield, didn't they?
Pretty much. And, you know, like we had discussed, yeah, they picked up Melanson. But over the last two seasons, discussing Giants baseball, we've been trying to figure out their bullpen. And I think it's a known fact that Derek Law, Hunter Strickland, George Contos just aren't guys that you can 100% rely on to get the ball between the seventh, eighth, you know, between the sixth, seventh, and eighth inning to the closer. So I think that's one of your issues.
Well, yeah. You know, to be fair, Strickland has been really good. He's been doing his job this year. You know, he scuffled last year, but this year he's been really good. We'll have to see if that continues. But, you know, wasn't it time for them to kind of make that change? I mean, it was kind of time for Sergio Romo to go and Santiago Castilla to kind of move on, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. But you want to move on. You know, nothing really filled their spot. And then when you come back to the infield, you know, like I said, Crawford, Panic, and Belt, while they're all great players, or really good players, I don't think they're reaching that superstar status.
Crawford seems like the kind of guy who's actually he's a very good player, but he's stuck at that position where there's a lot of very good players. Do you think he'll ever be a superstar no matter what he does?
No.
So, I mean, is there anything wrong then with him just being a very good player?
No, but I think, you know, what you're looking for more is a little bit more out of his bat. You know, the game I went to for that two seasons ago was Crawford bobblehead day, and I was able to land, you know, the Silver Slugger and the Golden Glove, which is great, but that was now two seasons ago, and you're hoping that wasn't the peak.
Yeah, you know, that's always, you know, one of the things you have to be concerned with there, these guys, but I don't think he, you know, he's flamed out like that yet, do you?
No, not yet, but I guess maybe what's missing is the support for all these guys. There isn't a bat on this team that I feel like you can go, oh, man, we've got to pitch around this guy. You know, obviously you're not going to have a Trouter or a Harp on the team, but I think that's one of the things that's really missing from their batting lineup. You go around the batting lineup, and you've got guys that are going to do some damage, but 1 through 9, 1 through 8, with the exception of maybe Posey, I mean, are you really afraid to pitch to any of these guys? No.
Well, you could be, you know, depending. You know, I think if Bumgarner was pitching, aren't you afraid to pitch to him?
Well, or Clayton Kershaw, you know?
So, yeah, that would be a rough outing, that, you know, if you had to face him. So, but yeah, I don't know. I'm a little shocked by them, you know, getting out of the gate so poorly, and then it kind of drew some attention, obviously, with the injury. you know, that goofy, I was out on my, crashed on my motorbike, you know, thing. I don't know. I just wonder where the heck the team goes from here.
I mean, it's one of those things you're going to have to work through, and fortunately, it's only April.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's the big plus. What, it's only April, and then what's the tagline? It's just May. So,
yep.
You know, yeah, hopefully they work out their issues. But, yeah, they're, I mean, as early on here as it goes, they look like they're in big trouble. And, you know, the rest of that division is playing pretty well.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. I still think that when it comes to it, the longevity, Colorado and San Diego might simmer down.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't really expect San Diego to kind of hang out there. But, you know, Colorado's looking more and more like a pretty good team. You know, I mean, obviously the key to them is, will their pitching hold up? But, you know, so far so good.
Yeah, I guess I haven't really looked at the standings.
Oh, yeah, you know what I mean? You know, I guess the thing is, I mean, you know, when it comes to the Giants, you know, we're looking at a team to be a playoff contender. We're just not kind of looking at a team that's, yeah, you know, they're okay, they're above 500, you know, whatever. You know, how's that work out? You know, I mean, I'm looking for a team that's going to contend for a World Series here.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously have a huge turnaround to make, but I don't know if this is the year.
No, sadly, I probably picked them. That's probably why it's not their year. So.
No, Mr. Fantasy did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because that'll do it to them every time.
Well, we do have something to get into that we have not been able to get into, which was your idea for me to do, and unfortunately, I forgot to take my pictures yesterday morning, but this last week was such a surefire, there were no other options to pick. You know, I kind of want to go back to the first week. What I've been trying to do, and unfortunately, with, you know, hurting my back last week, I just was completely out of it. It was hard to really put together my thoughts and give you more of what I was looking for. But going back to week one, I wanted to just say, I was trying to pick my fantasy batter and pitcher of the week, you know, kind of based off of a little bit of FanDuel, kind of how many points they would have got you during that week, and then also kind of based off of our season-long one. So that's more or less why I went with Paul Goldschmidt, the Madison Baumgartner, and the first 2 weeks. I just felt like point-wise, they just knocked it out of the park. And then last week, which we obviously didn't get into, that one was a tough one, Big Jack. I don't know if you kind of took a look at the 7-day stats, but Jonas, Will Meyer, and Altuve really put up some good numbers last week. So it was very difficult to kind of, to really nailed ahead on it, but I went with Jonas. As for pitchers, again, this was another difficult one, but I think you would like this one, because this one actually kind of surprised me. But, you know, for the week, we'll go from starting from the bottom, Johnny Cueto, the runner-up, Irvin Santana, but my number one for last week was James Paxton. I think with the two big wins, and I think more of the strikeouts is really what put him over the hump. I have been waking up every Sunday morning and trying to snapshot these stats because, unfortunately, between Yahoo and Major League Baseball, they only allow you to do 7-7. So I try to base it off of, you know, Sunday to Sunday, or, you know, Saturday, Sunday to Saturday, not so much the end of Sunday. So I did forget to do it yesterday morning. I swear to God I did it, but I mean, hands down, I don't know if you look at the numbers, but by far and away, the better here. Is there any way you can argue with me on that one?
No, I mean, obviously Harper was a lock with the week he had. I mean, there, you know, no way around it. I didn't look at the pitching closely to see who had, you know, like good week. You know, Scherzer's never a bad choice. We were talking about that yesterday on, you know, for what the hell we do, FanDuel. You know, he's never a bad choice, even though he's expensive. So.
Well, the thing with Max Scherzer, though, was, you know, aside from trying to pull it up as quickly as I can, aside from the two wins, I mean, he gave you 16 strikeouts, you know, with the two quality starts. So, I mean, for me, that I think was pretty big. The strikeouts, the wins, and then compared to everybody else.
So, yeah, no, you know, that's why, you know, we made it your choice, you know, so it's your deal how I want to go with it. So you'll have to defend it to anybody who doesn't agree with you.
Yeah, that's where you're supposed to come in.
You know, where's Mr. Fantasy when we need him? He can call and yell at us, you know. So, you know, that's how that normally works here with us. But, since we are still on the baseball topic, have you seen the whole Manny Machado, Dustin Pedroia BS that's going on?
I mean, I saw what happened. Is there more of an issue?
Yeah, you know, not so much. I mean, obviously the gist of it is, you know, Machado had that weird slide into second base where I don't know if, you know, I think the only thing he really did wrong was he slid late and he ended up bouncing up and kind of spiking Pedroia, and he's had to miss the last couple games. Now, you know, there was no retaliation on Friday, you know, and I guess Pedroia and Machado actually exchanged tweets and they were on good terms. Well, oddly, Saturday, the Red Sox started Steven Wright, who's a knuckleballer, doesn't throw very hard, so nothing went on then. Well, then all of a sudden, yesterday, just kind of out of the blue, you think it's all over and done with, Machado's standing in the box, and Matt Bush whizzes one behind his head at about 90-plus and hits his bat. Now, you know, I have no problem if they wanted to hit Machado. I have zero issue with it. Want to take out a little revenge? I get it, you know. But, man, you don't go headhunting at 90-plus. I mean, look at just what happened to that Tiger guy. He got hit in the face. You know, that's completely stupid. And, you know, Matt Bush should be suspended for about 20 games, but I know they won't do that. So, and it's Matt Barnes, not Matt Bush. Let me get the name right. But that was just – that was embarrassing. You know, and the weird part was is Pedroia actually talked to Machado across the field, and you can hear him saying, that wasn't me, or you can read his lips saying, that wasn't me, I didn't have anything to do with it. So they decided they were going to extract some revenge for him. Pedroia even spoke about it after the game. You know, could this possibly be a Red Sox clubhouse issue with them, you know, taking up for their captain when he didn't want them to?
I would think so. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm surprised, you know, the pitch wasn't thrown more at the umpires. Because this rule, obviously, with baseball and the rules, they're open to interpretation. But what happened there, you know, nothing happened. But the other day, Kyle Schwarber against went a little late, and everyone was called out. So, I mean, I think everyone's just confused as to how this rule is really being, how it should be accommodated. And And I mean, after watching a couple of these things, I think it's to the point where they're just going to have to mark the field. And if you slide past that point, that's it. What I don't agree with is if you slide, you know, if you kind of go through the bag or whatever, that the guy at first is out. I don't totally agree with that. But I honestly believe that they're going to have to come up with, because on both sides of it, between the officiating and the players, now it's just getting stupid, you know?
It's tough to blame on the ump, because every guy's going to kind of interpret the rule a little differently. And Machado was called out on the slide. I believe they looked at it in review and he ended up being called out. But, you know, the weird thing was, is all he did was overslide the bag, kind of like Schwarber did. And I don't understand, like, we were always taught, you know, make sure you can touch the bag no matter where you slide. And as long as you can touch the bag, you're okay. And I don't know why they went so far away from that. I mean, you're really just giving away double plays now. And, you know, and I know, okay, you want the game to be safer. How many injuries were there at second base with guys sliding in? I don't remember. You know, there was the big one in the playoffs when Chase Utley took out the Met, whose, you know, name I'm drawing a blank on right now. Other than that, I don't remember too many. So,
Well, and I mean, if you think about the old way, it wasn't that you were trying to take the player out. You were trying to break up the play. And in the old game, the second baseman was jumping. You remember?
Well, remember in the old days, guys used to go rolling into second base to take guys out.
But I think part of it is when you stick the cleat up. I think that is part of the issue. But I mean, in the old days, you saw this play happen every single day, and you know, the second baseman or the shortstop, which always seemed more like it happened to the second baseman, had the wherewithal to be jumping up. And, you know, that's one of the things that it's not so much that the game has changed, but it's the way everyone was taught the game. I mean, think about Buster Posey's almost career-ending injury. The way that play went down, that was completely, I hate to say this, like, I'm a huge fan of his, but that was completely his fault. He wasn't covering the way he should have been. He was out of position. It should never, you know, but the guys aren't taught that way anymore. And then I think that's one of the biggest differences, is the game that was taught through the, you know, through the players that played through the 90s, for some reason, that style of play, the education got completely lost. And it was too much, the focus was put on something else. You know, the wherewithal is knowing where the bag is as opposed to, you know, just being there. And I think that's especially for guys like us coming from a wrestling ring, you had to have the wherewithal to know where everything was at all times, not just focus on the ball. And I think that's one of the issues with the way the game is now, is that they literally can only focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah, I think I'm all for making the game safer. I have no issue with that. I'm okay there. But it's almost like they get going too far. And, you know, I mean, people seem, you know, you have to understand that injuries are going to happen. It's part of every game. Now, you know, obviously you don't want a guy rolling into a guy at second base and, you know, breaking his leg. That's what happened. It was Ruben Tejada was the Met who I couldn't think of earlier. You know, you don't want to see anything like that, or you don't want to see a catcher just get mowed down at home plate. You know, okay, I'm okay with that. You want to kind of legislate that out, but you can't take away a guy's ability to break up a double play. You know, and I mean, there's ways to do it with just a normal slide, and gotta kind of allow these guys to do that in some sense. Otherwise, you know, a ground ball, you just might as well call it an automatic double play. You know, just throw it back to the pitcher and call two outs.
Well, and, you know, and if you're not allowed to break up the double play, then it makes no sense to eliminate the neighborhood rule.
Right. You know, I mean, why does that matter? So, but yeah, it was just, the whole thing was just baffling. And then, you know, after Machado and Pedroia worked it out, you know, this idiot to come back and go headhunting, and, you know, I'm not buying his crap. It slipped. Not at all. You wanted to throw it up there. You wanted to send a message. In reality, it worked out for you because it ended up being a strike because it was a foul ball. But you don't go up there when you throw that hard. You know, I mean, if he would have been a little off, he hits the guy in the head. Do we really want to see Manny Machado out because he got hit in the head by some journeyman schmuck reliever? So, you know, I mean, that's what I mean. Major League Baseball needs to lay the hammer down on this guy, and I know they won't because they'll choke. You know, they would be afraid to do it. But, yeah, you know, it's time they start pumping these things up when guys get stupid. And, you know, this guy deserves 20 games. You could bring it down to 15 on appeal. But, you know, let's start teaching these guys a lesson in stupidity. And, you know, when you're going to be that dumb, you need to pay for it. You know, just bottom line. So, you know, if he would have hit him in the ass, I wouldn't have cared. He would have hit him in the leg, I wouldn't have cared. It was just the fact that he threw up around the head. So, you know, the Twins and the Tigers went through that. After the Tiger guy got hit in the face, they threw at the Twins' best player, Miguel Sano. It went behind his rear end. The pitcher missed him. It went behind his ass. I don't have a problem with that. You want to hit some guy in the rump, whoopee. You know, just one of those things. But you don't go headhunting. Not intentionally like that. Jerk. So, but all right. Well, we've been gone for a little while, Dan. You know, we had a week off, and I need to get your opinion on this. I want to know how surprised you are that the Bulls won more playoff games than the Blackhawks.
Hugely surprised. I tried listening to Stan Bowman's press conference, and I mean, I would have just taken 5 minutes, said, I'm disappointed, it's not how we play. And I mean, I don't understand it. I don't understand how that thing went on for longer than 5 minutes, because you've got what? I mean, let's just call out, we've got what, 5, 6, maybe 10 different reporters, different affiliates, all asking the same dumbass question. I mean,
yeah.
That press conference was just complete horse crap. I mean, they lost. What the hell do you expect out of it? What do you think, you're going to come out and say, oh, you know, got to try harder next year kind of crap? That really, number one, that annoyed the hell out of me. I do have a special story, though. A former co-worker of mine went down to Smashville, with her husband. And in that OT game, ended up leaving early because they got beer thrown at them. So, it kind of takes you back to what, the 80s, 90s kind of style of fandom. I think that was a little over, you know, just a little uncalled for. But, super classless. I mean, Nashville's a great town, and kind of lost respect for them. Of course, I tweeted Smashville. I tweeted Nashville and the Preds. Got no response. They don't care. They made their money.
Well, you know, it's just one idiot. You know, I mean, hopefully it wasn't more than that. You know, there's always that idiot at a game. You go to enough of them to see those guys.
Okay.
So.
But for my friend, I would have tweeted security right there and got that jerk off kicked out.
Yeah.
You know, and then tried to push for whatever I could have gotten, see if I even got anything else. But are you surprised, though, that the minute Rajon Rondo is out, the Bulls lose?
Yeah, Stu and I have been going back about the forth with this. I would have never thought that Rajon Rondo was the key to the Bulls' playoff success. You know, just one of those weird things. And I know we're jumping back and forth a little bit, but Dan, do you realize in the Western Conference in the NHL, not only did the Blackhawks go out the number one seed, but the number two seed, the Minnesota Wild, got beat too. So that's how the NHL playoffs go. You won't see that in basketball. You know, Cleveland, while they did have some tight games, swept the Pacers. Golden State has a chance to sweep Portland tonight. And it looks like Boston is back on track. And while they've had a tougher series, they've won the last two games in blowouts. So we'll see how these go. But, yeah, I was so surprised that, it's Rajon Rondo who's the key to the Bulls' success.
And, I mean, I'm assuming he's out. So if he's done, they're done. Because
he has a fractured right thumb, and they said 7 to 10 days, which would probably be the rest of the series.
Yeah, so if he's not in it, they're out. Because, I mean, who do you have behind him? You've got that guy Payne, who absolutely sucks. I'm sorry. That guy
Jerry Grant.
Grant, I think he's too young, but Payne just is horrible. He's probably, that's the one who backed up Russell, and he's horrible. He's horrible.
So
I don't even.
Obviously,
they should
have let
him walk.
He didn't play a lot.
No, they should have let him walk and got someone else.
You know, Grant's problem is he's a shoot first point guard. He likes to get his shot, and that's not his job on this team. You know, the positive with Rondo is he's a horrible shooter and he knows it, so he always looks to pass first.
Yeah.
But Grant likes to shoot the basketball, and that's going to get this team in trouble because they can't deal with it. But we do have three games tonight, Dan. We got the Bucks. Milwaukee's in Toronto tonight. That game actually started. That's a 2-2 series. We got Washington and Atlanta. It's game four. I believe the Wizards are up 2-1. And then we got Golden State at Portland. Golden State looking to close out that series. They're up 3-0. The Milwaukee-Toronto game actually started already. It's on NBA TV. The other two are on TNT. Now, you know, the Bulls do come back, Dan. It's another three-day break for them. They don't come back till Wednesday. But the game is on TNT. The two games they lost were on ESPN. Is it better for the Bulls that they're back on TNT?
Well, they haven't lost since, like, 1999. I'm exaggerating. It was 2014. But, maybe it's a better thing. But, the other side of it, though, I think the issues that Isaiah Thomas, obviously, even Chuck came out and had issues with him being out there. You know, my wife even said, I wouldn't be out there. So he's got to wonder how much of that affected him. Although you really couldn't tell in his play because he still plays great. But I haven't been listening to the national broadcast. I've been listening to the local broadcast. And I mean, Stacey King, he's lucky he didn't broadcast for the Cubs because I think he would have been fired a long time ago. But he's like, you can't let this 5'9" guy do all this to you. And the Bulls are just letting Isaiah Thomas run all over him. So I think they picked up their steam, and any hopes of the Bulls making it to the second round. I really thought they were going to make it to the second round. And then Rondo went out, and I watched yesterday's game, and this team is not going to go any further.
No, they were a nice surprise for a little while.
Yeah.
But, it looks like that's over.
And it would kind of suck for NBA stuff and Boston to have your number one seed kind of disappear. Obviously, I don't think the Bulls had a chance to beat Cleveland. So I want to see the best team going up against Cleveland. And if it happens to be Boston, that's who I want to see.
Yeah, I don't know if Boston is actually the best, but, you know, I think they're better than the Bulls, you know, as much as you want to look at it. It's just one of those things, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, maybe, you know, they play a little better, you know, they've got a couple days to kind of make an adjustment without Rondo, but yeah, I don't know. I'm looking here now, Dan, it looks like they are, there's an article here that Isaiah Kanan, however they pronounce it, is now going to get the start in Rondo's place instead of Jerry and Grant.
I don't even know who that is. Or that he was on the team.
Yeah, you know, you know what's kind of weird is I'm surprised they didn't go to Michael Carter Williams. You know, I mean, he's a former Rookie of the Year. I thought maybe he could be a guy who could play. You know, basically they just need a guy who can play some defense on Rondo while he's or on Thomas while he's out there.
Yeah.
So maybe Kanan is the guy, you know, who knows?
Well, and the other game plan that Boston's kind of been going for has been just – and, this, you know, that's the one thing that irks me with the NBA and the whole fake foul crap. You know, you can – if you've got the ball and you jump and you kind of lean the right way, you get a foul. And to me, it's the next best thing to a flop. And I think that's one of the biggest BS things in the NBA. You know, even though I've seen Dwayne Wade do it, I've seen all these guys do it, and I think it's horse crap. That you could just get behind the three-point line, jump, and as long as you jump and you're in the air and you somehow magically touch the other guy, boom, there's a foul, now you got three. You got a chance for, you know, three at the line unless you make it. And I think that's one of the most horse crap rules in the NBA. And obviously they're not going to do anything about it because the NBA loves fouls for some reason. I don't know. That's just one of the things about the game that just really pisses me off.
Yeah, I hate that specific rule, you know, where it's kind of like, yeah, okay, hey, we're going to, you know, you touched him, that's a foul. No, let's work this out a little bit here. There's got to be a better way to get around it or to do something. I just don't.
And that's, you know, it's not like getting on
there.
That's not getting on the referee type deal. That's getting on the league as a whole with some of the horse crap rules. Because, I mean, it's horse crap. How many times have you seen a guy jump and just did not even make a shot, just throw it up like a 7-year-old trying to shoot for the first time? And he gets a foul. I mean, you got to be kidding me. We're talking about the National Basketball Association, the best players in the world. And you're allowed to get away with this, you know, third grade crap. It's so stupid.
Yeah, it's definitely a they need to tweak it somehow. I'm not quite sure how or what the answer is to it, but they definitely need to come up with something.
Makes me so angry.
So, I
don't know. Like I said, we missed a whole week because I was out with a severe back injury. You were sick. We both took our time, and I'm sure we'll recap the rest of the NBA next week. But you did touch on the hockey. I want to get your response after, but all I got to say is the Caps won. So this is the series to watch. Capitals, Penguins. I will cry if they lose again to the Penguins this year. But, what is your emotion? And even being a Blackhawks fan, I mean, I'm just becoming a fan more of the sport as a whole in general. And, I mean, this Nashville team just surprised the hell out of me. Pecorini was on. He was on. I didn't really think picking up PK Subban for Shea Weber in the offseason would make that big of a difference. It's just kind of baffling how great they played in this first round and were finally able to knock out the Blackhawks. I mean, yeah, they had that quote motivation of being knocked out by the Blackhawks, which, yeah, it's there, but that doesn't give you the strength to win. I mean, what are your thoughts on that series and how they lost?
Well, you know, it's weird because I don't know how many times I've said it on here, and, I don't know if people ever believe me or not, but a goaltender by himself can beat a team. And Pekka was far and away the best player in that series. There was no doubt about it. Nobody was touching him. He was incredible. That whole series, even on those nights he gave up a couple goals, I think it was one game he gave up two goals. Any other game, that's a five-goal night. So there was just no way you don't beat the hot goaltender, and he was the hot goaltender. But what I am a little ticked off here about with the NHL is this crappy playoff scheduling. Why are we getting Washington and Pittsburgh in round two and not the conference finals? They've got to fix that. I mean, this is, Washington had the most points in the league. I think Pittsburgh had the second most. Pittsburgh drew Columbus in the first round, and they were the third most points in the Eastern Conference. There has got to be a better way to work out this playoff draw. Because, I don't want to see one of these teams go out in the second round. I mean, that's just, that's stupid. I mean, your conference final should have been, Washington against Pittsburgh, but instead we're going to get Washington or Pittsburgh against the Rangers or Ottawa. If Ottawa gets by the Rangers, who's going to care about the Eastern Conference Finals besides the teams that are in it?
No one.
So, even looking, you start looking at the matchups, we're going to get Nashville at St. Louis against St. Louis. Now, obviously Nashville is all excited because they're coming through whatever they did. Now, the series don't even start till Wednesday because the way it's scheduled. But then the other Western Conference series is Edmonton and Anaheim. So you don't have great draws there. There's not a lot of history with any of these teams except St. Louis. Obviously, the Rangers have a great history. The Senators really don't. But Pittsburgh and Washington are the marquee teams. Besides the fact that you have relatives in Nashville, Dan, give me a reason to watch any of these other series besides Pittsburgh and Washington.
I can't.
besides the fact that I picked Anaheim to win the Stanley Cup at the beginning of the year and they're still in it. So.
The tough part with the Western is all the games are going to start at like 10 o'clock at night, so. We won't be able to watch those.
So, the game one of the Edmonton-Anaheim series starts at 9:30 on Wednesday night. So I won't be seeing any of that. I even missed some of the Hawks-Predator series just because of the scheduling. So, that just kills me.
I was able to watch it because I was laid up on the couch. Couldn't move.
Because you were a hunchback?
No, I couldn't walk.
Toronto really gave Washington a good series. So you wonder if, the Maple Leafs are going to be an up-and-coming young team here. I saw they had five rookies score in that series. It, tied an NHL record. So you wonder if maybe next year or a year or two, they'll be the team knocking on Washington and Pittsburgh's door saying, hey, time to look out for us. So, we'll have to see. But, I know you mentioned you listened to the oddly long Stan Bowman press conference, and the vignette I heard of it, he mentioned there were going to be changes. You know, when you have a situation like this, you have to make changes. Well, they did make their first change. They fired their assistant coach, Mike Kitchen. So I guess it was his fault they lost.
Yeah, but they're not going to, I mean, Q's staying, so.
Yeah.
And not to be a jerk, but when I first saw that, I was like, wait a minute, they fired the kitchen staff.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the defense and what they call special teams, you know, power play, penalty kill coach. Obviously, he did a poor job in the playoffs because their penalty kill was terrible, their defense was terrible, their power play was terrible. So maybe he needed to go. You know, he'd been here since July of 2010, so it's always nice to get some changes in. We know Quinville will be back. The other assistants are Kevin Dineen and Jimmy Waite, and their fate hasn't been decided yet. So, but yeah, that was the first change. Who knows about player movement? We'll have to see what goes on there. But, you know, just one of those things.
Well, and the hard thing, too, is a lot of the players that were on the championship Blackhawks teams are on all the other teams in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those odd, you know, situations with this salary cap that, you know, makes it difficult to keep your guys. And, I mean, I guess in one way it's interesting to see, the other teams have their chances and that, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, it's tough when, you know, you have to let your guys go and, you know, they meant a lot to your team and, you know, all that other stuff. But I know we're getting close to running out of time here, Dan, but I saw one more thing today that really bothered me. And I assume you're going to explain it to me if it's a guy who's just trying to get a little bit of a headline for his story. You know, at the NFL Combine, all the guys give urine samples because they get tested for drugs. Now, one of the top guys in the draft is a guy by the name of Jabril Peppers from Michigan. He actually went in, his doctor actually went in and explained to the NFL that he had been having cramping issues and he was drinking a lot of water. So when he gave his urine sample, it was going to be diluted. Sure enough, the NFL tested it. It was diluted. One idiot, and I don't remember who this idiot was, the headline to his story was, Peppers fails drug test. Never said why, but that was just the grabbing headline. Was this just some moron trying to get a little attention for his article? Is that what you learned in journalism class?
Unfortunately, I didn't take the journalism classes.
Oh.
So, but taking the ethics class and learning that there is no ethics actually in broadcast, even though they say there is, yeah, he's on a ethics grad.
All right. Well, Dan and I made it through a show for the first time in a while. We'll have to see if we can do it again tomorrow. So come back at 5:30 for that. You know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Hit up the Facebook page. Give that a like. Jump on that Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. See what's going on. You can get Dan and I on Twitter as well. And as always, thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can listen to the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.